Spirit. Lord, we just ask that you would come and be in our presence, in our midst, because you are more powerful than all the distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And you are God, and we worship you, and we love you. And we thank you that you show us the path of a happy life. And what we're going to be studying today is one of the things that leads us away from the path of happy life. And the path of the happy life is to walk like Jesus walked, which is the virtuous life. And so I pray, Lord, that we won't get tripped up by these vices. And Diana mentions them in her opening. So Lord, help us to steer clear of evil and walk towards good. And so today we're going to talk about how to do that. So I pray so much, Lord, that you will take the words of Heidi and just fill her now with life and truth and joy and hope, and that we can receive the words that you have for us today. And if there's anything that we need to deal with in our own life, Lord, show us today in your loving kindness so that we can get rid of it and we can run back to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I give you permission to laugh if I like pull these off or anything like that. All the Greeks in the room feeling me with my hands, yeah. The Greeks and the Italians, where are my Greeks and Italians, you know? Thank you very much. Yes, exactly. Well, it's really great to be with you this morning. Thank you for all of you who prayed me back to health, and what a joy and a pleasure it is to be back and not even be on Zoom. That's kind of fun, but hi to the Zoom people. So I don't know what happened somewhere between my house and my crazy morning. I lost my first page. So I'm going to kind of give you what I think. I have my sketch notes in my phone. So this week I was thinking out loud to myself about our topic for today, about I need a good jealousy story. And then I thought for a minute, that's an oxymoron. There are no good jealousy stories. What the heck? And so, but there are certainly thousands of bad jealousy stories, are there not? I mean, I think we can all think of some immediately that come to mind. So welcome to Jealousy 101, and I'm glad you're here. Let's just start with a few jealousy stories from the Bible, because it's always good to depersonalize us, because then not everybody in the room will be thinking that we're talking about them, which we aren't. And so Cain kills Abel for some food. Joseph gets like a poochy coat, you know, and then he has a dream and a vision to do something really excited, and his brothers get offended, and they throw him in a pit, sell him into slavery. Moses' people start prophesying, and Joshua has a fit and gets jealous on Moses' behalf. King Saul is seething with jealousy over young David's anointed life, and just basically spends way too much time trying to kill him. And so I felt like that yesterday when I was driving in DC traffic, but I will not digress. So David's own son, Absalom, I think is his name, tries to steal his throne. Hannah weeps bitterly because she's childless, and there is a lot of jealousy up in that house if you read the story. Martha complains bitterly to Jesus that Mary is lounging at his feet while she's doing all the work. There's a little jealousy there. And Jesus does insane miracles, and the religious leaders just cannot deal with that. And then the disciples take the advice of an angel over the Pharisees, and that is where we find ourselves today. So if you will join, yeah, it's like a little history of jealousy through the Bible. So if you will turn your Bibles with me to Acts 5, beginning in verse 17, I think we will make it through together, I hope. And so here we go. So you can be turning there while I'm reading. I'm just going to keep going for you. So in verse 17, it says, the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, which what did Melissa teach us about the Sadducees?
They're Sadducees.
They're Sadducees, because they don't believe in heaven. So anyway, they were members of the party of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. Filled. Think about filled. Think about a full glass. That's a lot. Verse 18, they arrested the apostles and put them in jail, and during the night an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell all the people about this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, and as they had been told, they began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving in the jail, the officers did not find them there. And so, fun. So they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked, and the apostles were not there. We did not find them. So they went back and reported. And on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. And again, verse 17, the high priest and all his associates were filled with jealousy. Why? Well, I always think you have to wonder why. And so I backed it up to see why. And I looked at verse 12, and here's what verse 12 says. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. Verse 15, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on their own beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Can you imagine? Crowds gathered from all the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Not some of them, all of them. So here's what's so stunning. The Pharisees are jealous because other people are doing good. Isn't that crazy? So we never stop to think that we could be thwarting the advancement of God's kingdom because we refuse to acknowledge the favor on another person's life. And this is a huge deal. I mean, the Pharisees were religious. These boys, they might have been nobodies, but they were religious too. And God's kingdom was advancing. And instead of saying, oh my gosh, look at the kingdom advancing because of these people. The Pharisees had a totally different vision of what the kingdom should be, and because of that, they let jealousy fill their hearts, and they stopped the tried to stop the advancement of the kingdom. So we'll see in a minute. They weren't able to do that, but jealousy is like a long spear. It's this long thing, you know, that gets thrown at people, and the enemy has attached hundreds, if not thousands, of ways to make a person feel jealous. And you can think of spear as like a spectrum. The spear of jealousy is like a spectrum. It's long and it's sharp. And it always passes through the very same place. Do you know where? The human heart. Right. Exactly. So sometimes we have thoughts of jealousy, and it's like a commercial break from the enemy of our souls. Does anybody remember the Saturday Night Live skit, The Church Lady? Yes. Every time something bad happens, my husband always says, this moment was brought to you by Satan, you know. But the reality is, that's what happens with jealousy. He will use another person's gifts, their talents, their treasures, their dreams, or any single thing about them to draw away the focus of their lives on the truth about who they are in Christ and who God is. But sometimes we simply have jealous thoughts because we refuse to regard each other, as 2 Corinthians says, according to the Spirit. Right? So we, as Christians, we should be regarding each other according to the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God in me greets the Spirit of God in you. But we don't do that. And sometimes it says in Corinthians that we regard each other according to the flesh. And so that's just Bible for, you know, human. So according to James, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. And it's like every person has the imago Dei, the image of Christ in us, and so, or the image of God in us. So if we can't look on the favor of another person without jealousy, the chances are that we are regarding them from the flesh. And so it's just such a pain to be human sometimes, isn't it? And so it's also a pain to act in our old nature like we are the old man. But actually, that old man, it says in the Bible that we've been crucified with Christ, and you know, it's I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. And so we have put to death the old man. And unfortunately, sometimes we clip him to our belt and we drag him around with us instead of stomping that sucker flat. And so that's probably what we should be doing. Anyway, if you Google funny stories about jealousy, which I did because I just couldn't help it, you know, I thought, you know, it's kind of like jealousy fail. You ever see those wedding fails? It's so awful. I can't believe I'm a terrible person that I would actually look at a wedding fail. But jealousy fails are pretty funny. And I had just read two that I thought were hilarious. One was a guy divorced his wife because she kept kissing the horse on the cheek. You know how people, the horse people are like, you know, they love their horse and they kiss them on the cheek. So I thought, wow, that is just really insane. And then another guy smashed his girlfriend's computer because he saw the laptop open to her social media page that had a picture of a really good looking guy. And so he smashed her computer into 1,000 pieces, and it turned out to be Mitt Romney. I was like, dude, you need some help. Obviously, we could talk about jealousy in 1,000 different ways. There's family jealousy, political jealousy, jealousy of people, jelly, as some people call it, of people we're afraid of because they're not like us, jealousy over stations, careers, life partners, houses, cars, goods, services, jewelry, associations, friendships, Bible knowledge, church growth, spiritual gifts, and personal disciplines that other people have. I mean, the list is endless. Here's a few modern day situations that I thought about. Okay, do you know what a hate like is on social media? How many is maybe not everybody's on social media, but there's a funny thing going around about hate likes, and they're actually the Allstate man actually made a commercial about it. I thought it was hilarious, but you know, it's like somebody's taking a beautiful vacation, and really what you feel in your heart is like incredible jealousy, and so you like it, but you don't really like it. It's a hate like. So let's not be hate likers, because that's just not good for us. Here's another one. We're so attracted to a person with similar interests and passions as ours. It's what actually makes us to want to become friends with them, right? So then all of a sudden they actually pursue, said, I don't know what's happening. Oh, okay. Well, we'll just wait for just a minute. Should I wait or? Yeah, I should wait. I'm waiting because we're having a small technical difficulty, but we will be right back with you.
Sorry, but they are not in. I must be truthful, and they're very desperate to get in.
Oh, desperate. That's so cute.
As I came up because I was worried because of the traffic.
Yeah, the traffic was crazy. We could talk about that.
So she's talking about the room, the Zoom room.
Yes, right. Got it. That's
yeah.
Okay.
Janet.
Should I? You tell me when I should keep going.
Can you hear it? Tell us about hate likes.
Hate likes. Has anybody ever done a hate like? You can close your eyes and raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding.
Janet was muted.
So you like it even
okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like somebody's taking a gorgeous vacation, or you know, they've posted a beautiful picture of something they're wearing, or what, you know, their gorgeous husband, or something like that. I don't know what. And it's like you're like. Like, but you really hate it inside because you feel jealous of whatever it is. That's a hate like. It's kind of funny. Another one is we're so attracted to a person with similar interests and passions as ours. It's actually what makes us want to be friends with them, right? And then all of a sudden, they actually pursue said similar interest, and we think they're copying us. It's like, then all of a sudden, like, stuff inside our heart gets a little weird, and we get kind of jealous of that. People with our gift mix, I see this because I'm a pastor at a church that I work all the time, and I see this. People with our gift mix are so fun to be around until perhaps their gifts start shining too, and then we somehow feel a little bit less than. People get things you think you deserve. I don't know, how many people like hate marketing that says you deserve it? I just hate it. I will not buy a product that says you deserve this. I will run in the opposite direction. I want to be so far away from anything that I ever think I deserve. Another one is you hang with a group of people who have similar interests and you're willing to compliment most of them on their passions and gifts as long as you don't feel threatened. Or perhaps you can compliment everybody in the group except for one or two people. And you can watch these patterns develop, and you can see it happening among friends. You can see it happening in churches. It's pretty crazy. The bottom line is jealousy just doesn't feel good, you know? And so it never feels good because it wasn't meant to feel good. And why? It's because it's completely contrary to the heart of God. And so when we have jealous feelings, and we'll talk about this in a minute, about what to do with them, we just got to do everything we can to, as I said a few minutes ago, stomp that sucker flat. And this leads to the story we're in our scripture today. So what's going on in Jerusalem is totally out of the created order in the minds of the Pharisees. These nobody disciples, these nobodies, fishermen, tax collectors, really the worst of the worst, are suddenly turning the town upside down by going around and healing not just some people, but as we read in the scripture, everybody who is sick and all who are afflicted of the devil. And so the Pharisees are kind of having a fit because these boys, that's what I like to call them, they won't bow to the religious spirits of the Pharisees. And so Jesus has already ascended to heaven. He's messed up their developing political strategy, and now they're embarrassed. And so they go after the disciples. So the Pharisees are religious people who had appearance, skill, and position, but they unfortunately, they lacked that personal integrity to go with it. And so that's kind of unfortunate. They had what we like to call in the church form without power, or religion without power. And the disciples had religion with power. The boys had power, you know. And so jealousy led the Pharisees to take matters into their own hands, and it never works out when we take matters into our own hands. And Gamaliel, is that how you say that, Melissa? Gamaliel? Is that how I said that? Yep. Gamaliel predicted the outcome. He said, if this is from God, you cannot stop it. And so we miss it from time to time. We rebel. We act out of jealousy. And the consequences of jealousy, as our author says, elicit a lot of other behaviors that we, or feelings that we don't want to have. Envy, anger, greed. And I know the feelings of jealousy that have caused me to do really stupid things. And to Diana's thoughts, I would add bitterness, rage, despair. I love what Melissa taught us years ago. If you compare, you will despair. So compare and despair.
That's
so,
the church lady.
Oh, the church lady said that. Yeah. Oh, well, I thought it was you all this time for my whole life. Because Melissa and I grew up together since we've been like babies, had our babies together. I think every good thought I have comes from Melissa. So here's the other thing. It rarely occurs to us that our jealousy affects other people. So first of all, we rarely acknowledge that we struggle with jealousy. And we just need to get real up in here with ourselves sometimes, because we don't even think that we are jealous. Second of all, we think it doesn't hurt other people. Just like, I don't know, as a pastor, people say to me all the time, well, what's the big deal if I have this porn addiction? It's not hurting other people. The fact of the matter is jealousy hurts other people, and so does porn, and so does so many other stupid things that we do. So, and the fact of the matter is too, is that people aren't stupid. Jealousy shifts the atmosphere in a room or in a community in a way that is not desirable. And it's either very overt, or it's shocking, or people begin to discover patterns in our reactions to other people's blessings. Because really, when you get right down to it, what are we jealous of? Somebody else's blessings. And so that's just nutty. And so I've had stupid, jealous reactions, and I pray that God would forgive me. But I've also been the recipient of some jealous actions that are just heartbreaking. And I think that we sometimes don't take time to think about, like, just like the things that we quip or we say or we do, how just tremendous impact they have on people. And what you don't understand is that, or what I tend to not understand, is that people have their own woundedness, and we're all being healed. We're all in a process of being healed of things that we've picked up along the way, lies that we've believed, and that kind of thing. And so sometimes what you think is not that big of a deal comment can be a really big deal for comment for someone else. And so here's an example for me. I don't know why, but for many years in the beginning of our marriage, I had a real problem accepting gifts. It's not really my love language. I just want you to take out the trash. That's all I want in life. And in fact, my husband's in Wyoming, and I've been having to take out the trash, and I really hate taking out the trash. And so I've been thinking about all my friends who don't have anybody to take out their trash, and that's made me sad. So anyway, side note. So my husband said to me when I right before I turned 40, you have a really hard problem receiving. And I was like, no, I don't. And he was like, yeah, you do. And Melissa, I'm sure, can testify that I did. And he said, I'm going to throw jewelry at you and gifts at you until it sticks. And I was like, fine, whatever. And so when I was 40, when I turned 40, he gave me, as Catherine did also, the best birthday of my life. My 40th birthday was pretty much everybody's favorite birthday of their lives. And John gave me this beautiful necklace, and I wore it one day down in Georgia to a family gathering. And somebody came up to me, and instead of saying, wow, that's so beautiful, they exclaimed out loud in what I didn't know was going to be one of those E.F. Hutton moments that stopped all the conversation. She turned around and she said, wow, what did you get that for? I never got anything like that when I was that age. And immediately, I don't know why, but I felt immediately ashamed. I felt mortified. I felt undeserving. And I did not wear that necklace for an entire year. Jealousy does wound other people. And I don't know what my problem was. And I had to work it out with the Lord and with John, why I couldn't receive and what was going on. And, you know, almost every piece of jewelry he'd give me, I would take back. Literally, I did this for years. Or I would put it in the safe and say, you know, well, you bought the safe. It's never coming out, you know, or whatever. And so that's just something I had to work out. But it does wound other people. Jealousy does. Another one that happened to me is just a perfect personal example, is that I had a dream a few years ago about doing something that I felt like God wanted me to explore in the area of ministry, and it would take me all the way to California, and my close friends celebrated me as a spiritual adventurer. But one person really got offended by that dream, and I really don't know why. I can guess a few reasons. I think not everybody gets to stop their life and go off and do something like that. Not everybody's husband is willing to follow them across the country and take his job and do it in another place. And I don't know, but for whatever reason, it ended our relationship. And it was just so shocking to me because we were both Christians. And jealousy is not a hidden sin. It does hurt other people. And so I want us to look for a minute about what might be behind some of the jealous feelings that we have. And then we'll talk about some solutions and we'll close. So four things that I thought of for me, and there, maybe these are just all applying to me and not you, but, you know, because every teacher will tell you, you're usually writing the lesson for yourself. And so here are four things that I think contribute to our jealous actions or feelings. The first one is identity theft. When we're jealous, I think this is a good time to check the way we feel about ourselves. Are we having a moment where we've forgotten that we're daughters of the Most High King? He gives good gifts to all of his children. So why do I feel insecure if he blesses somebody else? It's essentially like saying, God, you don't have my back. So the first one is identity theft. The second one is a lack of a kingdom mindset. We're thinking from earth instead of heaven when we're acting jealous. Jesus said that we should pray that God's kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, do you know what's not in heaven? Jealousy. There's no jealousy in heaven. It's not possible. For years and years ago, I was on this panel that a dear person, Melissa, introduced me to many years ago, named Deb Johns, invited me to speak on this panel for women in leadership. And it was all about being a professional woman or something like that. And it was at that time when I was doing some decorating, which was so bizarre that I even had that as a career for about 10 years because I really hate to shop. So I was like, really, God, you've got to be kidding me. So anyway, my daughter and some young friends were talking about this panel with me. And one of the girls said, wow, you know, you'd probably have a lot more business if you were a cutthroat biatch. And I was like, well, first of all, I have more business than I can handle. Second of all, I don't want to be a cutthroat that. And I really think that you're missing the whole point. And I don't need to be a cutthroat anything. So to do so is to suppose that there's somehow lack in our God. At the time, I was decorating. So what if he wants 10,000 other people in D.C. to decorate? If God wants you to decorate, he will give you enough work to keep you decorating. If God wants you to be, you know, in a certain kind of ministry, but he wants 50 other people to be in that ministry too, he will make it possible for all those people to do the same ministry. When my husband made a film about the child soldiers in Uganda, somebody came up to us and said, you know, oh my gosh, are you so worried that, you know, the Invisible Children came out at the same time that near John's film? And I said, has the child soldier problem been solved? And they said, well, no. And I was like, then no. I'm not remotely concerned or jealous or worried about, I mean, we need 100 films about this. And today, all these years later, the child soldier or IDP camp situation in Uganda remains the same. So, you know, the thing is, if the Lord appoints you, he will promote you. So don't be jealous when God brings people into a sphere you think belongs to you. Build other people up and bring them along with you. That's what we're meant to do in Christ. The third thing that I think contributes to these feelings of jealousy is pride. When we think we know better than others, we refuse to defer our preferences. And humility is deferring your preferences. We can end up second-guessing others, or at least worse case, outright rebelling against them. And so let's not let our pride keep us from deferring our preferences sometimes. And the fourth one is envy. I think envy is jealousy's kissing cousin. When somebody has something or gets to do something or operates in something or uses a spiritual gift or whatever the thing is that you think you deserve, envy says, I feel ashamed that you have something that I think belongs to me. And shame is directly brought to you from
the devil.
Satan.
Satan. Yeah, exactly. So that moment was brought to you by Satan. So in John 15, Jesus said, "You are the branch and I'm the vine. You have a choice. You can bear fruit that brings glory to the king, or you can bear the fruit of jealousy." So some of the fruit of jealousy includes these things. You don't have to write them down. Just listen and see what the Lord might, bring to your attention. You find yourself comparing your circumstances or situations with others, and you never seem to measure up. You feel like you've missed out on life's opportunities and it's too late, or it's unfair. No amount of encouragement or blessing in your life never seems to convince you of your worth. You feel jealous and rejected if you're not greeted or acknowledged by as many people in the room as possible. You're easily offended by the favor on other people's lives. You trend toward trying to prove yourself all the time. You feel you're spiritually superior to others. Not the luscious fruit produced by the abiding in the vine that we are looking for. So we all play our jealousy part sometimes, and I've certainly played mine. Heck, most world wars are started over jealousy. Even in the Bible, there's the story of how they got their first king. They were literally in the presence of the living, manifested presence of God who would come down and meet among them. But they were having a fit because they weren't like all the other nations that had kings. So they wanted a king. I mean, to me, that just is mind-blowing, but I hope I would not have been like the Israelites if I was there. But so often when I read the Bible, I think I probably would have been like the Israelites. So we don't have to throw in the towel. That's the good news. Instead, we just pray, we confess, we say this is negative fruit. Lord, give me a course correction. So how do we do that? Well, the first thing is, I think because we're kind of new back to Bible study this year, I just want to remind us, Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you remember, the difference between condemnation and conviction is the enemy wants to take, when you feel condemned, the enemy wants to take a thing you've done wrong and make it your identity. So like if you've lied, you're a liar. But the Holy Spirit convicts you and he says, "Why'd you tell that lie?" And you're like, "Oh, sorry." So, "Lord, forgive me." And then you move on.org. You don't stay in the same place. And so we remember that conviction from the Spirit leads to confession, repentance, and deliverance to freedom and not defeat. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says that in all things, Jesus calls us to triumph so that we can be the fragrance of God in the lives of others. So this means that you were born to release triumph wherever you go. So triumphing over jealousy smells way better than stinky jealousy. So if you think about it, like whenever you feel like being jealous, think to yourself, that doesn't smell good. You know, what am I putting out in my atmosphere? So let's close with these ways to overcome in the area of jealousy, which requires work. I mean, it just does. So here's five things I think would help us. Number one, face the problem. First, we have to admit that we are jealous and stop justifying our own sins. And I'm speaking to myself. If it looks, my friend Chris says, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, is a duck. Telling people how much we love or admire a person that we resent is a bunch of bull and is masking our sin, which allows it to grow into a monster in our internal lives. I thought that was very funny when he said that. The second thing is, so number one, face the problem. Number two, the second thing, invest in the person you're jealous of. Then their victory will become your victory. Isn't that exciting? War against the spirit of jealousy. You can become bitter or you can become better. I suggest we choose better. So some of the, think of right now, what are some ways you can invest in people? The number one thing you can do for them is pray for them. So I guarantee you it's really hard to be jealous or angry or bitter or envious of a person you're praying for. It's just hard, it takes the sting out of it. The third thing is celebrate the favor of God on another person's life and promote them. If God is for you, who can be against you? So we have got to be for each other and celebrate each other's victories. Here's an example from my life in our church. Somebody who had like a prophetic gift came and prayed, was teaching our staff at staff meeting one day, and he was praying for us. In the middle of the prayer, he stopped and he said, "I feel like there's an anointing on this house," which is called another word for church, "to write books. So everybody should be writing books." And so our pastor is actually a New York Times bestselling author, and he takes this very seriously. He is running around telling everybody that they should be writing more. And I mean, he is like literally down to our tweets, like, good job on your tweet, you know? And I mean, people have started writer small groups, or writers accountability groups, and probably 12 people on our staff have written a book. And even when I went to ministry school, I've never seen anything like it, but those people are so for each other. And so we can actively encourage people to do things even that we love to do or hope to do or wanted to do. Celebrate the favor on another person's life, because God celebrates ours and other people celebrate us as well. Number four, refuse to embrace it. Jealousy, that is. So refuse to embrace it. Don't give your mind permission to compare yourself with others. Instead, cultivate a truly thankful heart for them. So don't even entertain it. You know, I think it says in Galatians 5, I can't remember, Melissa probably knows the address, but I think there's a verse where Paul says, you know, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you? This kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So if you have a jealous thought, you have to think to yourself, you know, what did Joan used to say? To the devil. Just tell the devil to, you know, because you're not even going to entertain those thoughts. And the final one is this. Number five, remember who you are and who you belong to. We can't forget that our Father has plenty of love, plenty of provision, plenty of fame, and so forth for all of his children. When someone gets something that we long for, there is still plenty left over for us. One person's promotion is not your demotion. If you think it is, then you really do not understand the abundance of our Heavenly Father. So God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. So, but if we can't celebrate the victories of others, the Lord is, I hate to say because I've been the recipient of it, he will cut in on you and he will give you some of that Heavenly Father discipline that we all need at some time. So on the other hand, if we humble ourselves, he will exalt us in the proper time. So the natural progression of a heart burning for God is to have a heart that burns to see the blessings of God poured out in other people's lives. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's pray. So Jesus, we love you. We love you so much. We thank you for the great example that you were to us, that the disciples were to us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you most of all that you do own the cattle on a thousand hills, and everything that you have is just so abundant and so generous and so kind. And every good and perfect gift that we have comes down from you, the Father of heavenly lights. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the favor that we have in our lives, and we pray that you would teach us to be women who are like you. If God is for us, who can be against us? And that we are just for other people, and that we will really learn to rejoice deep within our hearts at the success and promotion and favor that you have put on the life of another person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know what to do.
Wonderful.
Did I do okay with this crazy?
Wonderful. Okay.